On November 5th, 2013, farm workers at Garawan Farms voted to decertify the United Farm Workers Union. However, California's Agricultural Labor Relations Board, the ALRB, has refused to count the ballots and has locked them away in a safe. This impasse leads us to ask, should government count the votes to decertify the UFO?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 960th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Networks. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Aaron?
Yes.
Should the government count the ballots?
I do believe so.
You think so, too. Okay. Also with us today, we have producer Kristen Carlson. Kristen, welcome.
Thank you.
I have to press the buttons here so I make sure people can hear you. Now, Kristen, do you think the government should count the ballots?
I believe so as well. They're the workers. They're the voices.
Okay. Good enough. Also, producer Anna Ringelman. Anna, do you think the government should count the voices? The ballots.
Well, I'm going to have to side with everyone else this morning so far. I think they should count the ballots and their voices need to be heard.
Okay. Well, I think we're kind of a mind here, but we'll see how the story shakes out and see what you folks out there think. Do you think the government should count the ballots? Folks, California is a one-party state, controlled for the most by its labor unions. I don't think anybody would dispute that fact anymore. If there is a patron saint of these labor unions, it would be Cesar Chavez, who has schools, streets, holidays named after him up and down the state. Though Chavez's United Farmers Union is not among the most powerful of California's unions, it is among the most popular for its advocacy of those who harvest the nation's food. Formed in a grape worker strike in the 1960s, it blossomed into a nationwide grape boycott. The UFW has come to represent a consensus that those who work the fields and harvest our food should be treated fairly and paid fairly as well. Thus, it will likely come as a surprise, at least to those of us who live in the city and eat the foods harvested by the farm workers, to learn that those farm workers have voted and to decertify the UFW. Holy smokes! But wait, nobody knows how the vote came out because the California Agricultural Labor Relations Board has refused to count the ballots. This refusal to count the ballots leads us to ask, should government count the vote to decertify the UFW? Wow. Here to help us work out an answer, we have Sylvia Lopez. Sylvia, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program.
Yes, hello.
We have you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. Well, thank you for joining.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Now, Sylvia, you are a farm worker, a 15-year-long farm worker at Garawan Farms, correct?
Yes, I'm a farm worker for 15 years, which I'm so glad to be one of the employees in that company.
I bet. We city people kind of think of farm workers as being a non-skilled job, but that's not true, is it?
No, that's not true at all. Because we're farm workers, but we always think in the future. Like, we think one day to do something not better than that, because that is an honest job and I like doing it and I love it. That's why I live here in Central Valley. But one of the issues that we have right now, our main problem right now is they haven't count our vote, and that's our situation.
Well, that's what we're going to be getting at here this morning, Sylvia, and we're so happy to have you with us to do that. You are one of the people at Garawan Farms who is organizing this vote to decertify, correct?
Yes, but just to make this clear, I don't want people to see me like another union, because I don't want that. I don't want people to think that I'm not a union. I'm just a worker that I started collecting signatures, and I got together with my other coworkers and started collecting our signatures to look for our rights, mm-hmm. So they can hear us, so they can respect our rights that we think that we have, and that's it.
So,
I don't like to be part of the union organization.
Okay, fair enough. So instead of being a union organizer, you're kind of like a union disorganizer.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Just for the fun, I had to throw that one in. Also,
yes.
Also with us today, we have attorney Paul Bauer. Paul, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning, and thank you for having us on. It's great to be here.
Well, so happy to have you aboard. You know, this might be a first for the Food Chain. I don't think we've ever had a guest on that brought her own attorney. So welcome aboard.
Thank you, I am an attorney and representing her in different causes of action against the board. I've become a big fan of hers and a big constituent of this effort that she's engaged in.
Now, I think we're all going to come to enjoy Sylvia's company today as well. But we always ask our guests, Paul, who pays the way? Sylvia has an attorney and she has a public relations firm and all this. So who is sponsoring this effort?
So right now, I am doing this and have always been doing this for the pure ability to get out there and represent these workers and get their voices heard, because without someone stepping up to do this and the resources that these individuals have wouldn't normally allow them to go out and get representation. And in fact, they've been criticized, they have been ridiculed by the board, by the regional director out of Visalia. How in the world could they get an attorney and navigate this system? And it's completely ridiculous that that this regional director and the board itself would somehow question the integrity of her and the thousands of farm workers that voted to decertify the UFW.
So did I hear you correctly in saying that you're doing this pro bono?
Correct. It's a bigger. This is like so many movements out there. They start out as small, little snowballs going down the hill that grow into something larger and more meaningful. And that's exactly what's happening here, and exactly why her story and the fight that these farm workers have engaged in needs to be told up and down California and even larger. Because we know that there are 200 to 300 other businesses like Garawan that will. That have similar situations where they have collective bargaining agreements that need to be negotiated, and if successful with Garawan, will steamroll the rest of this valley and the rest of the Central Valley that they want to go pick up more members.
So something tells me that there was a lot at stake here.
Very much at stake. Their current membership, we understand, is around 3,000 to 4,000, and if they were to have this collective bargaining agreement imposed and start stealing these wages from the workers, would double their enrollment overnight.
Mm-hmm. Well, and regrettably, folks, not here to participate, declining, in fact, to participate today, was the California Agriculture Labor Relations Board, as well as the United Farm Workers Union, neither would participate in this conversation today. Why not, Paul?
Very simply, this is about money. It's about stealing these workers' wages. It's about these workers who, these are second and third generation agricultural workers who realize that they can speak for themselves, they can act for themselves, and they don't need to pay someone to represent them, because they have safe working conditions. They've got good wages. And in fact, we believe that if the collective bargaining agreement is imposed at Garawan, that these workers will receive less wages, less benefits, and have to pay for that. And it just is beyond comprehension that this should be allowed to happen in this day and age. Well, these workers... Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to go to Sylvia here. Sylvia, you've been with Garawan 15 years. Were you at Garawan when the company negotiated with the UFW?
No, No, because the first time that I met Paul in Modesto, they were in Modesto, California. They didn't let us to get in their meeting that they have with the company and the UFW. The UFW didn't want us to participate. We went like 20, 25 workers trying to get involved, like to know what's going on, what's going to happen. And they didn't let us to get in and hear. They just ignore us and they said that we can't go in. But it doesn't make sense, really, because, you know, they're talking about our money. So why we can't be involved in the
process? We're gonna work that out. We have to take a quick break. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, today we're talking about the United Farm Workers Union and the members of that union who are voting to decertify the UFW at Garawan Farms in California's Central Valley. We will be right back with Silvio Lopez, Paul Bauer, and you. Do stay tuned. This is going to be a barn burner.
Get this. You can earn a 5-6 or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
House plants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at metrofarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high value specialty crops for the city at metrofarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at metrofarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at metrofarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-6 or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at metrofarm.com. That's metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Should the government count the votes to decertify the United Farm Workers Union contract at Garawan Farms in California's Central Valley? Interesting story. And let's see if we can fill it out to a little bit of the details here. Sylvia, I got to thinking, as a union disorganizer, which is what you're attempting to do, you're attempting here to disorganize the United Farm Workers Union. Do you think you would have made a good union organizer 30 years ago?
Pardon me, what was your question?
I think, well, you're trying to dismantle the United Farm Workers Union today.
Okay.
Would you have been a good union organizer 30 years ago?
You know what, be a union I don't think so. I will do something to teach my people how to learn their rights, but I won't do something to make my co-workers or people to pay me to explain them their rights when I can do it, teach them how to learn their rights. I think that I would like to do that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I think that I would like to do.
Okay. Paul Bauer, let's go back 20 years, because the UFW has been under contract at Garawan for, what, 20 years?
We go back to an election in 1990 that they won the election and were certified in 1992 and then disappeared from everything.
What do you mean disappeared? The union... The UFW won the election, was certified in 1992, and then disappeared? What do you mean disappeared?
They literally disappeared from the workplace. They literally disappeared from communicating in any way with these workers. They didn't negotiate a contract in 1992. They never communicated with these workers. They never represented them. They never assisted them in any manner. And now they want to come back 20 years later and start taking these employees' wages. We don't think that there were more than a couple of people that are still employed at Garawan that were employed in 1990 that participated in this election.
Well,
and so from the very
why did the union disappear? I mean, they're not communicating with the Garawan workers, and they're not communicating with us, so it's kind of hard to figure out what they had in mind by organizing this contract. Garawan's a huge company. How many workers? 10,000?
At some of the peak seasons in the past, they've had a significant number, and, you know, 7,000-8,000 workers, we believe. And at the time of the election in 1990, it was certainly a much smaller company. And your question, where have they been for 20 years? We've been asking the same question for a year and a half and have never gotten an answer from the UFW why they abandoned these workers for 20 years. And it appears it's simply just a power grab to get these workers, get the workers' wages to grow and expand at all costs.
Well, Sylvia, you're working at Garowan Farms for 15 years, and all of a sudden, one day, here comes the UFW asking for your money. What do you think?
You know what? We didn't even know that the union was certified in the company. That's the first thing. So it was like, I wasn't shocking. Like, what's going on? Because I'm one of the person that I don't like to be involved with companies that where they have unions. I don't like to pay in unions. And I would like, I went like, and you know what? The worst thing is that if we don't sign to be a member with union, we couldn't be fired. So I think that doesn't make sense either. If they're there to help us, why they want to fire us?
So the union could have you fired for not paying dues?
Yes.
So if after you've been working at the farm for 15 years, the union shows up one day and says, we need to collect our dues. And if you don't pay our dues, we're going to have the company fire you. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Paul, is that legal?
It is legal. If there is a collective bargaining agreement imposed on these workers, which we believe any day now that this agreement can be imposed on them, they will have to agree to pay the dues, 3% of their wages, or seek employment elsewhere. And it's just a terrible, awful choice for farm worker staff to make.
Okay, we have Jose calling in. We're going to pick him up and see what Jose has to say here, too. Jose, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program. So happy to have you aboard.
Yeah, hi, Carlos.
Hello, go ahead, Jose.
Yes.
Go ahead. Hello? Well, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air, Jose.
Yeah, I have a question. What she is going to do this?
Paul, can you speak Spanish?
I do not speak Spanish enough to converse.
For Sylvia. Okay. What she is getting to do this?
Oh, your question was, su pregunta fue, porque, ¿por qué estoy tratando de hacer esto?
Sí.
José?
Yes.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to communicate with Jose here.
Yes,
Jose?
My question is for Sylvia, what she is getting to do this?
Okay, Sylvia, what are you getting to do this? That's what Jose wants to know. Who's paying you, Sylvia?
Who's paying me to do this? I think it's very, very logical that you don't have to get paid to defend yourself. If somebody comes and tries to kill me, I won't ask somebody to pay me to defend myself. I don't know. When you know your rights, like farm workers or like other employees in other companies, when you know you're right, that makes you tough because you can't just be there sitting down waiting for somebody else to defend you.
Sylvia, do you feel threatened? Have you been threatened?
No, I don't. I can't feel like that because I'm in America, in the United States, so I can't feel like that because that's our right, free speech. So we can speak. We can express ourselves like how you feel. So I like that. That's why I'm in America. And to to do this. I don't need nobody to pay me to do this. I love doing it. I love doing this, and I know I have four kids. I have four kids that I have to be the example for them. I have to show them and teach them how to defend themselves. Like, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a dad, and I'm a mom. So I have to teach my kids how to defend themselves, because nobody's gonna come and try to rob me because they want to steal my money like that. No, I'm working hard to get my money.
Isn't it interesting the assumption that someone who wants to go against the norm and decertify a union is somehow engaging in illegal practices, when in fact, if the roles were reversed, no one would be questioning the integrity of someone wanting to form a union, but it's only when you want to decertify a union that you get labeled as doing something untoward, when in fact, I know from firsthand experience the blood, sweat, and tears that Sylvia engaged in to go collect these signatures last summer to have this vote.
Well, and I'd like to ask you about that, because I think Sylvia is going to be a little bit reticent to talk about it. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what it takes to decertify a union. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Sylvia Lopez. She is a farm worker at Garawan Farms in this California's Great Central Valley. Also with her today, her attorney, Paul Bauer. And you, the phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-4719-1980. We will pick up your phone calls when we get back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. What do you think out there? The workers at the farm have voted. The government is sitting on the ballots. Should they count the ballots? Right back. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to be cruising through California's Pajaro Valley when I saw the red flags, and I thought, oh goodness, there's the UFW organizing a company, a berry company probably. So I drove over there and took out my tape recorder, and I was going to get some sound for the evening news, and something wasn't quite right, though, and I couldn't speak to any of the farm workers because they were Spanish speaking and they don't speak Spanish. So I went to the company and I said, what's going on here? These folks are trying to become organized the UFW. And the company official kind of looked sheepishly and hemmed and hawed. And finally he said, no, it's not the way it is here. Those people out there with the red flags are trying to stay out of the United Farm Workers Union, and the company is trying to force them to join the union. And I scratched my head and I said, well, this is exactly the opposite of everything I've ever seen in terms of union activity in California. So how is it that a company is trying to force the workers into a union and the workers are trying to stay out? And it turned out that the company had been purchased by a couple fellows in Michigan who had nothing to do with the berry industry, but had been coaxed into this purchase because they were connected with the labor unions. So in effect, the labor unions had purchased a company in order to get the company to accept the unions. But the workers didn't want the unions. So we have to turn to Sylvia Lopez and wonder why she doesn't want to be part of the unions. And producer Anna has a question for Sylvia here.
Hi, Sylvia. I just had a question.
Hi, Anna.
About what you think about claims that Garawan Farms has coerced workers to sign in favor of decertifying the union?
I think it's a very good question, and it's a question without answers for me. Because you know why? Because I always answer the same thing, and I don't get tired to answer the same answers. But that would be a good question for the UFW, because why they think, or the ALRB office, why they think that way? Because they're the one who's saying that. So I think that question will be good for the ALRB office and the UFW. Because, like me, personally, nobody's forcing me to do this. Nobody's threatening me to do this. Nobody's telling me to do this. I always communicate with Paul Bauer, my attorney, because he explained me the law, and we try to respect the law the best we can. Which we're trying to do our best, like farm workers, but we know the law and we respect the law. And we know that the supervisor, crew leader, the employer, they can't be involved in this situation. We know that, and that's something that it's very clear. And I explained to my coworkers that they can't be involved in this situation. This is just only us, the farm workers. And like I said, and I repeat, we respect the law. And I don't know why they suing. They're doing a lot of things to block our rights, our petition, our vote, our election. I don't know why they do that. That's one of the questions that I would like to do with Silas Shower. I would like to ask him why he does this, why he's complicated our life, why he makes us suffer, because we suffer a lot, we fight a lot to get the election, and not to be counted the votes. That's something very sad.
Very sad. Paul Bauer, you watched Sylvia go through this whole process, and I'm certain that she's not going to tell us all that she went through. What did she go through?
This has been a long, hard-fought battle that, and in fact, the UFW not only probably picked the wrong company to reintroduce itself to California, but they ended up going up against the wrong person, and that's Sylvia Lopez, who in my mind has become a 21st century civil rights leader who is out there advocating for the agricultural workers and explaining their rights and making sure they're not being taken advantage of by the union that just assumes that if you're an agricultural worker, you will support them. And she has grown so much in this process. Her and I met in Modesto in June of 2013 when she and about 15 to 20 of her co-workers drove up all the way from the Central Valley to Modesto to sit in on the first mediation between Growen and the UFW. They wanted to sit in and hear how their life was going to be affected by the UFW, and they were kicked out by the mediator. They were kicked out by the UFW. All they wanted to do was sit and listen, and they were not even allowed in the room. And that was a triggering point that Sylvia and I met, and she asked me, what can we do? What can we do? And we have worked together since then, and she's grown into a remarkable person that we all have come to admire in her dedication. And she's got a family that she takes care of, and it's shown to be a great leader and a role model for not only her daughters, but also for many of us in the community.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone, and we're going to talk with Juan. Juan, well, thank you for calling Food Chain Radio Program. You're fire away.
Hello, good morning. My name is Juan Panagua, and I just want to say that Garawan has violated our rights so many times. They have come asking for signatures for us to vote to the fields while we're working. As long as I know, that's illegal. Miss Sylvia is also not a worker of Garawan. Well, maybe she is, but she's being paid. She's being paid by the company to do all this.
Well, wait a minute.
Everybody knows that.
Okay, let's ask her that question.
Every worker from the company knows that.
Okay. Sylvia, are you getting paid by Garawan Farms?
Nope. Whoever says that, I think that...
My name is Juan Paniagua. I have seen you, Sylvia. You have come to my crew, asked for our signatures. Garawan has violated our rights. They wouldn't let us come to the field and work, saying that if we don't sign, saying that we are approving Garawan's law, they said that we cannot go and work that day. So So they make us wait for us to go working because they want us to sign on your favor.
Okay. We have our disparaging voice.
Miriam Musk has been paid for
I don't know you. I don't know you, and I know a lot of Juans because I've been collecting more than 2,000 signatures, so I know a lot of people named Juan.
That's okay. I'm giving you my whole name. My name is Juan Paniagua, and I'm telling you, everybody knows how Gerawan has violated our rights. We want the union to be there.
Well,
you know you have been.
Okay, Juan.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Woo, we're getting warmed up out there. Juan says Gerawan is violating their rights. Sylvia says they are not violating their rights. Sylvia has organized the workers of Gerawan to decertify the union. They voted on it. The ALRB is sitting on the votes. What do you think? Do you think the government should count the votes? We will be right back. Just stay tuned. Well, we have some email communications on the subject. This from a grape grower from Stevens. I am from Delano, California, and one of the first growers to have a forced UFW contract in 1969. We 29 growers were forced to sign a UFW contract because chain stores refused to carry our grapes. Oh, you remember those days, folks? I bet our producers don't remember those days. So either they get the UFW contract or they don't sell grapes, he says. We decertified the union with an election in 1971. So they have a union established in 1969 and they decertified in 1971. The vote was 81-1 for decertification. The union lost all of the original 29 growers in decertification elections. What happened to the UFW union, Paul? They signed this contract with Gerawan Farms in 20 years ago and they just disappeared. What happened?
We are still waiting for an answer to that question, and at this point, all we know is from these farm workers having realized that they can speak for themselves. In fact, the abandonment by the UFW has allowed these workers to grow, to become more educated about their rights and responsibilities, and have realized they don't need to pay someone to speak for themselves. And it's been a remarkable transformation in an industry that was so closely connected with the UFW, they were synonymous, and they are no longer synonymous. And there's many people that still have the mentality of the 1960s and 1970s that you have to be a UFW member to be an agricultural worker. We know that's just not the case.
Well, we do have somebody who can speak up for the UFW, and that's Juan calling back. Juan, what happened to the UFW? Why did they disappear for 20 years and then show up again at Gerawan Farms?
I really love it. Was a little, but what?
Oops.
The original.
Juan, we can barely hear you. I don't know. You must be on a cell phone someplace because we can barely pick you up. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you. Yeah. I was saying that my son, the workers who was during the first election 22 years ago, and what I know is that they after the union got into Gerawan.
We just can't understand you, Juan. I'm sorry for that. So the union disappeared for 20 years, and then it showed up. Sylvia, why did the union just show up again?
Why does the union show up again? That's a very good question for the UFW union. Because since I started asking them, they never answer that question. If they don't have an answer for that question, I don't have an answer for that question either. they know better than me. Like, they have to know why they disappeared for 20 years and then come back like that, I don't know. I can't find a name for them because we can't call them union. Because union, think maybe it means something different.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, let me answer Juan.
Okay, go ahead.
He said that gay ones participating in this. That's not true. And if Juan speaks that way, why he don't collect people, co-workers, and go ask the ALRB to count the vote?
Well,
why he can't do that?
Sylvia, that's exactly what I want to ask. Why is the ALRB not counting the vote? Paul, you're an attorney. These are our attorneys. What's going on with Sacramento, California, that they're sitting on the votes of the farm workers and not counting the ballots? Why are they not counting the ballots?
One theory is that they're scared of the result. And the result we know will be an overwhelming majority of workers at Garawan that have voted to decertify the union. And I believe that there are many people who do not want the world to know the result of that election, because it will signal the distress that the UFW has felt and will continue to feel by using the strong arm methods to silence many workers' voices who do not want them around.
So the stakes here in this election are really huge. I mean, they go much farther than simply the workers at Garawan Farms, do they not? I mean, this vote could have a huge impact on the ability of that United Farm Workers Union to survive. And it could have, therefore, an adverse impact on the rest of the unions to survive as well, correct?
The adverse impact on other unions.
Yes.
More importantly, downstream, the consumer of these products that we feed the world with, who will have to pay higher prices because of forced wages and forced benefits on these workers, and again, silencing their voices, that ultimately the impact is on many other people than just these workers.
Is this kind of like the same situation that's going on in Tennessee with the United Auto Workers and the vote for and how they lost the vote to unionize the Volkswagen plant? Is there similarities there?
I think the similarity is that you have a workforce that is educated. You have a workforce that understands their rights and responsibilities, and that there are many protections at the state, local, and federal level in so many industries that perhaps weren't there or as well defined back in the 60s and 70s.
We have to take quick break, Paul, so hold that thought. When we come back, should the government count the ballots? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Do stay tuned. What do you think out there? Should government count the votes for the decertification of the United Farm Workers Union at Garawan Farms in the Central Valley? Holy smokes, what a change that would be. Let's go quickly to Rich. Rich, what do you think? Should the government count the ballots?
I don't know. When you say government, who actually are we talking about?
ALRB, the California Agricultural Labor Relations Board, which I believe is appointed by Governor Jerry Brown.
Yeah, well, the question is, what have they said as to why they're not counting it? Has anybody asked them why they're not?
Paul Bauer, what did they say? What is the excuse given for the ALRB not counting the votes?
The excuse is that they're conducting investigations around the election, the first election that was held in early November. But the interesting fact that is overlooked oftentimes in this discussion is that there's nothing preventing the board from ordering the regional director to count the votes, let the results be known, and still conduct the investigation. One does not preclude the other.
Rich?
I'm still confused as to what are they investigating? What is it that they're investigating that they won't count the votes? You know, is there somebody made a charge about something? I don't.
Sylvia, what did you do to mess up the vote so that the ALRB is not going to count the votes? Did you cheat somehow?
What do you mean? Like,
well, everybody wants to know why the ALRB is not counting the votes. And the ALRB says that they are investigating. And I assume that since you're the lead union disorganizer, that they're probably concerned about your activities and somehow you cheated or Garawan Farms cheated. Did you cheat, Sylvia?
I don't know, because they're the one who was right there where we both, ALRB, the one who was involved and put everything together for us to vote. So I didn't know why you have to cheat when I know that I collect my signatures and I know that I have my more than 2,000 co-workers with me.
And so...
Even if they burn the boats, even if they steal it, even if they do whatever they want to do with it, having a new election, I know for a fact that I'm going to be, that we're more, that we're like 90%.
So you think you got 90% of the Garawan votes, Sylvia?
Yes.
Wow. And if
you know why, let me tell you something why. Because workers, farm workers, like me and the other 2,000 workers, that we know the company where we work. We know our pay. We know it, that we're the best company working. And like I heard in another places, like Salinas, like Oakland, like the company Dole, the UFW is not doing what they're supposed to do. So the people, they're certifying the unit and Dole.
Well,
Sylvia,
we're out of time, but I don't think you're out of energy for some reason. I think that you're probably quite the gal. And I want to thank you for joining us on the Food Chain as well as Paul Bauer. What do you think out there? Should the government count the ballots? What do you think? Thank you so much for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.